Well, good morning, everybody. So isn't it lovely to see all these little ones? There was a bumper crop in 2019. Here they all are. So it started in January with little Jack, and then March saw Joshua come along, and then we had our one little girl of all the babies, Lydia, in May. Closely on the heels was little Seth, and then Jonah bringing up the rear end of June, and he finally decided to be born. And so we got these lovely little babies, and wasn't it brilliant to see them dedicated this morning? Really nice. So, of course, it's a very special day and a very important day. But there's also something else very important happening later today, which is the Wimbledon final. And so we're going to just watch a little clip for a minute. And this is a special little clip made in Scotland. Now, I hope you all realise that there is no Duncan Murray, and this is a joke. And when BBC Scotland produced this little comedy clip, it just went viral, because everyone who knows Andy Murray and his brother Jamie and the mother, and it's a very famous family, but people who don't know about them just couldn't believe that a mum would be so cruel about Duncan. And it started a thread on social media about people who were just, you know, their heart was going out for Duncan. There's over 60,000 views of this little clip. And so if you were sitting there thinking, poor Duncan, actually, there is no Duncan Murray, but it's great to see an outpouring in the nation that it really touches all of us, doesn't it? The thought of not being part of the family or being the black sheep or being the one who was the disappointment. And these little babies today, they're all unique, but they haven't been born like in isolation. They've been born into a family. That's where they belong. And it's a little bit like having a beautiful diamond. But with a beautiful diamond, it's not just like loose in somebody's hand or in a drawer somewhere, but it's placed in a setting on a ring so it can be seen and it can shine. And in the same way, these little ones, and those of you who are parents here today, your little ones have been born into the context of a safe place, a family where they belong, a place to be safe and secure and nurtured and to be encouraged to blossom. And that is the purpose of family, and that is your role now as family. And this is where our identity is first formed. This is where a child, they first experience what love is like and learn how to receive love and how to give love. And it's a place where they grow up that they can face the world with confidence because of being nurtured in the family. Now, we know there's all different size shapes of family, and this is a place of influence. Now, I was thinking back to when our children were little and how Rachel was the eldest child, and that when she was about, I think, five, she just had this influence that sometimes with Matthew, who was three, she would sort of plan their summer holidays. And so they had this big attic room in a big converted house we had. And we thought they were up there having fun, but we only realized years later that Rachel had decided to put Matthew through summer school. And the poor chap was only three and couldn't explain. So he was up there doing lessons, and we thought they were happily playing. Another day, one little room that we hadn't yet decorated in this big old house was a little back room where the previous owner had put embossed wallpaper. Do you remember that? When the wallpaper was raised and there would be a pattern in it. So this was white, but it had this like raised pattern. Anyway, one day I was cooking tea and they were messing around the lounge, and they went through to this other little room. They were so quiet. They were playing so quietly. I thought, isn't that great? I can get on with cooking tea, and that's really great. And obviously Rachel was just exerting this great influence over Matthew. And after a while, you know when they're too quiet for too long? That's not good. At first you're pleased and then you're suspicious. So I walked through and I could see them just like with the colouring pens out, and it seemed fine. So then I walked into the room to find they had coloured in the embossed white wallpaper with felt pens and crayons. And so we can see that within family, those first relationships, whatever the shape of our family looks like, is our first mirror onto life and mirror of ourselves. It's the first mirror of love. And for us as parents, obviously, we want to help children understand what God's love is like, and we are the first mirror of that. And also parents, grandparents, close family and friends, and siblings. Now, I remember thinking when Chloe was born, so we had Matthew, Rachel, and a few years later, Chloe came along, and I thought, is this just going to be chaos now? But actually, having Chloe was a little bit like we didn't have a puppy, we had a Chloe. And this is how Rachel and Matthew treated Chloe. And so she was called the baby till she was about six. And so she might still be called the baby now, for all I know, but she was still called the baby. And so what would happen, they had this new toy that was living, breathing better than a puppy. And so they would be able to tell us what Chloe wanted before we knew it. So they would just come into the kitchen and go, the baby's thirsty. And you go, really, would you like a drink? You know, the baby's hungry. And they would initiate. So by the age of three, I remember someone coming over to visit me and saying, look, I don't want to be personal or anything, but you know, you're like third child who's three. They haven't learned to talk yet, have they? She doesn't talk. Is there something wrong? Have she seen a specialist? I went, oh, no, she can talk. She doesn't need to. I said, watch this. The baby's hungry. The baby's, you know. So anyway, it's the day I walked into the lounge to find in their little play pram, the baby at 6 months who'd learned to sit up, was sitting upright in the pram being wheeled around the lounge. So this, when children are born, they're born into a family. And those of us around them, that is the first place where they learn love. And there's no such thing as a perfect family. All our families are different. We have different things going on. But in that imperfect state is the safe place for a child to be raised, to call it home. And God's heart for people is to be safe in family. In fact, there's a verse I love in the Bible that when I was praying about these babies' dedication, I felt God say, this is the word for your babies and for us all here today. And it comes from Psalm 68, verse 6, that says, God sets the lonely in families. God said, it's not good to be alone. And he looks out across creation, and he wants to set the lonely in families. So just like our little babies are born into a family, whatever shape that might be, in the same way, it's God's heart that nobody is alone, but he sets us, like that precious stone, into a family. In fact, the whole part of this psalm, Psalm 68, verse 4 to 6, says this, sing to God, sing praises, and rejoice in his presence, because his name is the Lord. And that's saying, because he's the Lord, he's in charge, we're safe, it's okay. And you know when you feel safe or happy, it's saying, sing, but be happy, because you are safe. Sing to God, sing praises, rejoice in his presence, his name is the Lord. He is a father to the fatherless. Have you ever felt alone or orphaned or fatherless or motherless or friendless? God's heart is for us never to feel alone, but to be your father. A defender of widows, for he is holy. Now, for he is holy means because he is righteous, because he does the right thing, because he's concerned about justice. And that's his character, and he can't do anything else but what is right and holy. And so he doesn't want to see the widows or anybody who is left stranded and alone to be undefended. So God comes in to defend the widows and to be the father of the fatherless. God sets the lonely in families. That is his heart. What a God we have, that his heart is to see us nurtured in family. And releases prisoners from jail, singing with joy. So anyone who feels chained or imprisoned by anything, whether it's a literal time in a real prison, or whether it's time in our own prison of our own thoughts or our anxiety, God comes to release the prisoners from jail. And that is the heart of the God that we serve. I love how this verse shows that he has the heart for the orphan, the widow, the black sheep, the prodigal, the prisoner, that God reaches out to every one of us because he is full of love and he wants to set the lonely in families. Now, the other thing about family is this, is that God has a family. And it's not just, when it talks about family, it's not just talking about who is in the house, whether it's mum and a child, or mum and dad and a couple of children, or whatever the scenario, or a gran and some children. It's not talking about just inside the people in the house, but it's talking about an extended family, God's family, the church, which we see here today.
And the church is a place to be safe and to grow. It's people, all different sizes, shapes, backgrounds. We're all different. But God brings us together in our diversity to love one another and to care for one another, to be in a safe place where we can also grow and develop and find a community who accept us just as we are. No more trying, no more having to put a face on, but actually I can be myself with this loving community around me. Now, Julian and I, we're in a season at the moment that as we see these parents with little babies, like little birds in the nest, we are in the phase of like empty nest, although thankfully they're all still pretty much around, so that's good, but not in the nest anymore. So it's that kind of, everyone says beware empty nest syndrome, but actually, believe me, it's actually great, and because you can enjoy them and then they go home to their own house, so that's really nice. So, but in this season, we have taken on the care of Julian's parents, who his mum is 87 and has later stage Alzheimer's, and his father is 90 and has vascular dementia. They just live down the road to us. And recently we had a care review where we had to sit with various care agencies where they were talking about the support. And we were describing what we do, and we were describing what friends in the church here do. We're describing what people in the church do occasionally, and those who have like signed up to this said, yes, we know you have a complex rota of friends and family helping you. And after this review of like an hour and 20 minutes, the lady who was listening to it all, she leant forward and she said, "It's very interesting when you talk about your church, because I can see that your parents-in-law, you have created a village around them." And I thought, that is a great way to describe church, because I haven't created a village around them, but they have been part of this church for 20 years with generosity and kindness and serving and helping people. And now they're in a season where it's their turn and people are coming and helping and serving them, and it is like being in a loving village. I loved it when she said that, because I think that kind of describes local church, that it is like a loving village where we have brothers and sisters and aunties and friends and we look after one another. And it is God's heart for nobody to be alone, and everybody is welcome into the church family. Everybody. There aren't special rules for entry. Everybody is welcome, because God's love is for every single person. And as we come to him, he melts our heart with love. He forgives all the mistakes we've ever made in our life and sets us on track. And we get placed in a family who love us and care for us, and we can love them, and a place to give and receive love, where your little ones here are growing up with friends, aunties, uncles, older brothers, older sisters. We're all looking after them and caring for them and setting that example. The other night I was at a party, and at this party, it was an 18th birthday party of a young man of friends that we've been friends for 30 odd years. And as the fireworks went up in the sky, I felt so emotional of the fact that we have lifelong friends together. I've held little babies in my arms who are now 18 years of age, and we have walked that journey of life together. And here together, church is a loving village. It is a community where our children grow up, not just with our own efforts, but with the safety net of everyone, which is for each and every one of us. In God's family, when we become a part of God's family, that invitation is for everyone. An amazing thing happens. He gives us these promises. Jesus said to his disciples, they were worried when Jesus had died on the cross, and then he came back to see everyone for about 40 days before he went back to heaven. And in Matthew 28:20, Jesus said this, because they were worried that he was going. And he said, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, he comes into our life. He lives inside of us. He gives us power to overcome the stresses and strains of life. And he is surely with us, always. And I love this verse in Deuteronomy as well, when God is explaining his heart. And it says here, "Be strong and courageous. Don't fear or tremble, because the Lord your God will be the one who keeps on walking with you." Not just walking with you, but keeps on walking with you. And he will not leave you or abandon you. He will never leave you, and he will never abandon you, but he will keep on walking with you. Isn't that amazing? And so our little babies today, and for all of us here, there is an earthly family as well as our spiritual family, the church, where we can learn to love, experience God's protection, and have that mirror of God's love. And also, is protection, let's have our Niagara Falls. Now, it seems strange to me that there would have to be a barrier at Niagara Falls telling you not to climb over. But when I was researching this, there's so many videos of people who've gone to Niagara Falls and climbed over because they dropped a tissue or something, or trying to take a photo, that there's danger there. And God loves us, but he also protects us from danger. Now, babies, our little babies that were born today over these last few months, these little ones, we're going to have a little look at their names and a few namesake characters. And so here we have little Jack James. Well, actually, I'm going to do ladies first. Let's have ladies first, because there's just one little lady, little sweet Lydia Grace. Now, Lydia is an old English name that means thankfulness or thankful to the Lord, an effortless beauty. Now, clearly that's from Rachel, not you, Doey. So, you know, the effortless beauty, but maybe it's a bit from Doey as well. And Lydia, there's a story in the Bible. This is Luke and Acts here, and it was written by Luke, both books. And in Acts 16, there's a story here of Lydia. You're welcome to have one of these to take in. And Lydia was a seller of purple cloth. And she believed in God, but that was as far as it went. She believed there was a God, and she'd moved to Philippi, and she was down by the river with some of the other women washing and dyeing cloth. And Paul came along, and there was Paul and Timothy and Luke, who wrote this book, and Silas. And they were going around sharing about the good news of Jesus, and they had traveled to different parts of Europe sharing about Jesus. And so Lydia and the others stopped what they were doing, and they went to listen. The Bible says she had an open heart. And there she'd been praying by the river. There must be more than this, and praying. And she listened to Paul, discovered all about Jesus, that she could have her sins forgiven, start a brand new life. Her faith in God was now, it was like anchored in Jesus as well. And so she gave her life to Jesus, asked that she could be baptized straight away there in the river. And her and her friends, they all got baptized. And she insisted on hospitality to Paul, Timothy, Luke, and Silas, because she had this open heart. And her conversion, or her turning to Jesus, was historic in Bible history, because it was the very first Christian in Europe as the gospel was spreading. So that's Lydia. You can read about that. Now, Jack, his name means God is gracious. And that's what we're looking at in this talk, the gracious heart of God, that we don't deserve anything, but he just comes to us as a father with his love. It's not about trying to be good enough, but he gives us by grace undeserved favor. And Jack actually comes from the name John. And as we know, John was like Jesus' best friend. The Bible says John, the disciple Jesus loved. Now, Jesus loved all of them, but he and John, they had a special relationship. And so I want the parents here just to remember now, with Adam and Kelly, little Jack, wouldn't it be great if on his journey he has that intimacy with Jesus, just like John did as the disciple who was loved. And then Jonah. Now, Jonah, that's one of my most favorite exciting stories, that when we would go and do school assemblies, I would love to tell the story of Jonah, because it's up and then it's down, and it's up and then it's down and it's up again. And we know that Jonah is like a picture of tenacity. He was like the reluctant prophet who heard from God a difficult task and ran the other way, and famously had this incredible encounter and ran back and saved a whole city. And so his name means dove or peace, because he went on a journey, he was brave, and then he brought peace to a city. And then Joshua. Well, Joshua, you could do a week-long sermon on Joshua. Would you like me to? No, maybe not. But Joshua was amazing. Now, Moses, everyone knows Moses. He was so famous. And when Moses passed on, he passed the baton to Joshua. And Joshua had to lead all these tribes of Israel, who were quite hard to manage, worse than school trip at the end of school. It was just thousands of people. And he was the famous successor to Moses. Brave, strong, prophetic, resilient, leading the people. And his name means God saves. And so that means that because of the things we've done wrong. We're far from God, and we want to know him, but we're far and we're a little bit lost. And then Jesus came, that's what Joshua means. Jesus came to bring salvation or to save us and say, look, there's so much love that the Father has from you, and all we have to do is turn from the things that have messed our life up and we've done wrong. And we come to Jesus and we say, forgive me, come into my life, let me live my life with you, let me discover this whole community and all that you have for me. When we pray that, and a spiritual change happens on the inside, and it's like being called being saved. And then we walk into God's community and all the purposes of God for our life, and to know his peace and his joy, fears melt away, anxiety dies, and we're living a life for Jesus. And that's what Joshua means. It means salvation. And to move on to Seth. Now, Seth, do you remember Adam and Eve? They're Cain, Abel, and then Seth was the third brother. And Seth means appointed. Now, an amazing thing about Seth, because when I was reading this, we've got two Seths, you know, a Seth and second name Seth, and a Joshua. Now, do you know about the famous man, Seth Joshua, from this part of the world? Do you know? Because on this baby dedication, I'm going to let you know who he is, because I was so excited. So, Seth Joshua. Now, he's just a young guy, and he lived up in Pontypridd, and yet he became instrumental in the whole Welsh revival that changed Wales in the early 1900s. So when he was 23, he moved to Ponty, and he was hanging around down the bad end of the town. And so by the station, it's called the Tumble. And down at the Tumble, it was the hardest part of town, and people would be going down there, and this guy, a young preacher called John Pugh, he was a preacher at the time, and John Pugh, one day he was praying, and he felt God say to him, you're not cut from rough cloth, John Pugh, but I want you to go to the rough end of town. And he was like, okay. So he went down to the Tumble, and he went in, and he was preaching outside the front of the station. And as he was preaching, in the crowd there was the young Seth Joshua, aged around 21, 23, with his brother Frank. And they were there in the crowd. And as they listened, Seth Joshua, it's like his heart came on fire. He'd never heard about Jesus in this way, or how Jesus could change his life, and he wanted it so bad. And afterwards, he and Frank went up to speak to John Pugh, and he said, everybody's welcome in God's family, and he prayed and asked Jesus into his life. Now, he was passionate, Seth Joshua. He was so passionate for the land of Wales, and that everybody would experience what he had experienced. So he started planting churches. He would pray, and he would explain about Jesus, and then several people would get saved. He'd form a church, then he would go and do another one. But as he was doing this, it took him away from his first love, which was traveling and preaching while he was caring for these little churches. But then Frank and John Pugh and others helped. And they released him to travel. And he began to travel all over Wales. And there is a document, there's his journal, where he wrote of all the things that were happening around the time of the revival. It's incredible. And so one of the things he loved to do was go and pray alongside the Taff in Sophia Gardens in Cardiff. And he would go down there to pray. And he'd be walking up and down praying passionately. And his son remembers when his son was little, one day he was mitching off school, the little boy, and he said to his friend, let's go fishing in the Taff. And they mitched off school, and they went down the Taff to go fishing, and there they saw his dad, Seth Joshua, walking along praying. He's like, quick, in the bushes. And he hid in the bushes wondering if his dad would see him. But his dad was lost in prayer, and he records the time that his dad was just walking past the bush saying, Father, give me Wales. Father, give me Wales. Give me Wales. And he just remembers this. Give me Wales, Lord. And it's recorded that Seth Joshua would pray, Lord, raise up an ordinary working man in Wales, like a coal miner, and use him that the nation would be changed. And this was his prayer. And then one day, under his preaching, there was a young guy sat under his preaching, the coal miner, Evan Roberts. And this is what Seth Joshua had prayed for. Now, I want to ask you, who are you praying for? Parents, pray for your children. Pray for their influences. Pray for them. Because here is Seth Joshua praying for a coal miner to bring revival to Wales. And young Evan Roberts, he sat there and he listens to Seth Joshua preach. And he experienced such an incredible baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's like the power of God came upon him that he left his studies, returned straight to Lacha. He met with a few young people in the Sunday school room. And there, among the teenagers, suddenly the Welsh revival was born. And over a period of time, over 100,000 people found Jesus, discovered Jesus, because of these two guys, Seth Joshua, Evan Roberts, and many others who played a part in our revival here in Wales. And we have seen the same thing in the last couple of years. We've been going on the street just to share with people about the love of Jesus. And we've seen over 5,000 people say, I want this. Will you pray with me now? And over 15,000 people have said, please pray with me. I can see that this is real. And so we are a bit passionate about it, I think you can tell. Now, this is some things out of Seth Joshua's diary. He says, I'm on my way from Gosignan to Neath, 16th, Friday, December. At one moment, when we were all together, the great congregation poured out into the street because there was no more room to sing and pray and speak and share. I never saw such a sight in my life. Next day, 17th of December, Saturday, called at Neath and saw Frank. Rejoiced with him over the blessing they've received. 500 conversions in Neath today. Praise God. 18th, Sunday, traveled to Gosignan. Wonderful fire. Held meetings today. It is wonderful. I can't describe the power and the freedom and the liberty in these meetings. At times, it is quite overwhelming. And in another entry, he put, such was the presence of God, we lost all track of time. Can you imagine that? How amazing. That is the fire. Such a presence of God swept through Wales, and Seth Joshua lit that fire for Evan Roberts. Who are the influencers on your little ones? What is their destiny? Right now, parents, you and us as church family, and you as family and extended family and friends, we are their place of influence to help form their identity, the safe place to grow, give them confidence to face the world outside. We are the mirror to the love of God that is unconditional and it's always there for us. And no one knows the future of these five little ones on the screen, these beautiful little babies. These were like the day or two that they were born. But I would pray this, that they will have an open heart like Lydia, the one who was dyeing cloth and in the river, that when she heard truth, she embraced it. I would pray that they know intimacy with Jesus, like John, his best friend. That they would be brave in the face of danger, because there is one walking with them all the time, like Joshua and Jonah. And like Seth, that they are appointed, like all of us, for a special destiny. God cares about your future. He doesn't want you to be alone. For these babies, their safe starting place is family. That's where it's going to happen. But God sets the lonely in families. And for each of us, if our heart says, I didn't know there was more and I want it, then you can pray a prayer like this with me now. Let's close our eyes. Now, these little babies today have been dedicated to the Lord by their parents, but one day they have to grow up and make their own choice, just like Lydia did, just like Seth Joshua did. And it is our choice, too, that one day when this world ends or our time has come to an end, that we will face the Lord. But it is our opportunity now to say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. So if you want to do that, you could pray this prayer with me now. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you you want to place me safe in a family that I would grow. I ask that you forgive me for all that I have done wrong in my life. Forgive me, Lord, for my sins. I choose to go your way. I ask that you will fill me with your Holy Spirit like you did Evan Roberts, and I will walk in your purposes. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will never leave me or forsake me, and you will never abandon me. Come into my heart now, Lord. Amen. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you today for all these little ones, how precious, and you have birthed them into family, and their grandparents, and their aunties, and their sisters, and their friends, and the church family. Ask you to help us, Lord, with all our strength and your guidance to help raise them in the love and the knowledge of God. But I pray too, Lord, for all of us here as congregation, that in this world that we live in, we will know your peace and your joy. I pray that you will live in our hearts, that we will know your destiny. And I thank you, Lord, your heart is to place us in family. In Jesus' name, amen.